This is take 17, side 35. The date is July 24, 1997. Continuation of the interview with Dr. Walter Jacob. I'm Gabrielle Denman. I will be the interviewer. Mary Harrison is the recorder, and I forgot to say on the last tape that this is the National Council of Jewish Women Oral History 2. Rabbi Jacob.
Let me continue just on this one thought.
Yes.
I know that the Dutch are also working on a prayer book for the holidays. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful piece, but it has taken them 6 or 8 years to move ahead with that.
So that this German prayer book was not done by committee?
Correct.
Expedite, or why it's been done so quickly. How about books for the school children?
Well, there are three areas in which things need to be done. One is we need lots more material for Russians. And, you know, a few years ago I started a little project here to translate books into Russian. Two books have been done, and I got a third one underway now. So basic reform Jewish books will be available in Russian, certainly by the end of the year. Textbooks for children. The number of children is too small to make it possible to publish commercially. But it is possible to publish in a rather nice format through computers and simply run off, need 100, 30, 40, whatever. And we will try to coordinate that by having different people taking care of different grade levels and presenting the material to everybody and making it available to everybody. The third part that's necessary are basic Reform texts and Reform Jewish classics in German. Now that material exists, or did exist, in a printed form. And one of the things that I'll be doing in the next year or two is editing a series of such classics, either providing introductions myself or finding people who are capable of providing appropriate introductions, either immediately in German or we'll get them translated into German. Because each of these books from the last century, from earlier in this century, will need a kind of a setting so that they'll be understandable historically and as well as in our terms.
How about teacher training? Who's going to do that?
Teacher training is a real headache at this point, because we don't have any institution, we don't have any funds, we don't have any personnel. So there's really nothing there. Whatever teacher training there is now will have to be done by a professional teacher who is in one of the communities. Oh, I've forgotten which one. Now I'd have to look it up. And by Dr. Homolka, then by myself when I go over and spend some time. Let me mention two other things that happened, which one of them at least plays into this. This was one weekend, and on this weekend we also, three of us, actually there were four of us as rabbis, conducted a whole series of conversions. People who had studied, each of whom had a long tale of woe, how they had been mistreated by the Orthodox, and finally came to us, and we presented them with an appropriate course of study, and they moved ahead. And there's some other people who are underway now, and there's a long, long waiting list of people who want either to be converted to Judaism or to have their status regularized. You know, they may have a Jewish father and not a Jewish mother. And in Europe, matrilineal descent continues to predominate. The following weekend, we had a leadership training session on the outskirts of Frankfurt at a lovely Protestant retreat center, which had been lent to us. And there, the theme was liturgy, but we really dealt with all kinds of other things too, in an effort to help the congregations organize to raise the level of understanding and knowledge. And those kind of institutes will also lend themselves to teacher training and the like. By the way, you should know that, first of all, at the ordination service at the ordination service there was a cantor and a choir, very nice, small choir, 8 voices, sang beautifully, also at the Arnoldsheim gathering there was a cantor, and the congregation really respond. I mean, when they sing, they sing, and everybody knows Hebrew, including any prospective convert. Every one of the prospective converts or people that we converted could of course read Hebrew, could of course translate any section of the prayer book that you might have given them, and in many instances could have translated any simpler section of the Bible.
Now, was this because of their background or from their study for the conversion?
From their studies. Each of them had been in Israel 6 or 8 times. They have studied with Dr. Homolka or with other people who provided the material to them from a distance and saw them at intervals. And the stories of the rejection are really horrendous. I mean, a person will go and see an Orthodox rabbi. First of all, he or she will have great trouble getting an appointment. Not that these people are terribly busy. Certainly no busier than any rabbi here. Then the rabbi will listen, and he will say, "I will get back to you." He will get back to them a year later, and the answer will be no. And they will try to ask, "Well, what can I do?" or so on and so forth. And either the answer will be extremely vague, or there'll be no answer. And when they then come back and come with either some documents which show that there were some Jewish ancestors, or show that they have studied and really know something and are sincere about it, the man won't even see them. And I know of one woman who lives about 150 kilometers from a synagogue, so that's a long way off. There is another Jewish community nearby with which she has been involved, who decided, "All right, I'll drive 150 kilometers every weekend and show that I'm interested." She showed up, and both she and her Jewish husband were excluded from the synagogue. So these folks are impossible, and there's nothing, there's not even any use talking to them. So we will integrate these individuals. And by the way, this particular woman who was excluded in this fashion was 2 weeks, she's also been very active in the Zionist organization, not Jewish. It was 2 weeks later, contacted by somebody from the same community and asked, "Are you going to continue your generous contribution?"
What are all these converts to be converted? Are they all, have a similar story of having one parent that was Jewish?
No.
Some are Christians?
Yes.
Because they're married to Jews?
No.
Could you give us a little idea?
Just interested in Judaism.
Young, older?
complete mix of ages.
The east or west?
Mostly west. Yeah.
Well, there's been a lot of press. It's cool to be Jewish. I've seen it in magazines and German youth.
Yeah, it's not easy, and it's not easy to be accepted, and the amount of study that's involved. So, you know, it takes a lot more than just a whim.
Is the you mentioned that one of the meetings was in a church retreat. I assume from what I hear that the churches are supportive of this new movement.
The churches are actually they have used this retreat center a number of times. It's as nice as the lodge at Ogilvie Park here. You know, it is a beautiful place in the woods. They've been very helpful in that way, and they are neutral as far as the Jewish community is concerned, but not taking sides, Orthodox versus Progressive.
Right.
But they are interested in us because we are dialogue partners and working partners in social matters. The Orthodox will occasionally show up, but that's it. They're not interested. And since then, I've seen that, for example, Homolka and the president of this union, who is a professor at the University of Heidelberg, asked for and immediately received an appointment with Bubis, the head of the German Jewish community, who is proving to be quite friendly. Largely, I think, because we are beginning to move, and he sees that this is a movement that will continue.
That's very exciting.
Yes.
Really.
And there's a lot to be done, and it'll happen. And through email and fax, you know, I hear what's going on, I try to help, and one of the things that they need is a minimal amount of money. I mean, some of it is really almost ridiculous. For example, one of the students who is going to the Leo Beck College has found some support for his studies. The other, who is a young woman, comes from a community that cannot support her. So we'll have to find $2,000-$3,000 a year to augment whatever savings and so on she has, and whatever her husband's able to put into this.
And she would go to the Leo Beck?
In London.
In London.
Yes.
That is the European.
Yes. For the moment, that's the only school that exists in Europe. And you know, the other thing, and thus far, the World Union has not been able or not been willing to put any even small sums of money into this German venture. They put all their money into Israel and into Russia, which I think is a mistake to let this go.
Currently there are two students or more?
There are two students at the Leo Beck College and one other who will probably go next year. But it'll take 5 years before they are ordained.
Right. But they might need some support. Okay. Tell us what else happened.
The other nice thing on the first Shabbat that I was there was that I conducted a bat mitzvah. It's only the second bat mitzvah that they've had, or this, I've forgotten whether the first was a bar or bat mitzvah, but the second. This was of a young lady who is 17 and decided she wanted to be bat mitzvah and did it very nicely and gave a very nice presentation to the congregation, very thoughtful on her Torah portion. And and it was just lovely to see that happen, and to see through her effort other young people encouraged to move in the same direction. And there were a couple of other lectures in between, which showed me by the attendance that people are really interested in learning more about liberal Judaism. And there's a high level of interest. And people, will want a bibliography. I gave a lecture, for example, on synagogue architecture.
In German, you did all this in German?
Oh, of course, everything was in German. And another lecture on some aspects of the prayer book, and each time handed out a bibliography, which was usually mixed because the amount of material available in German was limited.
When these students got English, they've got to be absolutely proficient in English as well.
Once you come to
the gymnasium, almost every educated German knows a reasonable amount of English. They won't be at home in this. I mean, Homolka is completely at home, completely bilingual. Most people, they come up to me and sometimes would say something in a sort of a halting English, and I would indicate, look, it doesn't make any difference to me. You want to practice your English? That's fine. Or we'll talk in German. And they inevitably latched into German. It's more comfortable, your choice of words, your vocabulary is too limited in a language you really don't know that well.
Tell me something. Was there a German equivalent of the Hebrew Union College before the war? Yes. Where were rabbis trained before?
There were two such institutions in Germany. One was the Jewish Theological Seminary, which was in Breslau, and the other was called the Hochschule für Jüdische Wissenschaft in Berlin, also sometimes called the Lehramtsstab. That's a technical Hochschule that provides a different kind of level of recognition. When the Nazis withdrew that recognition, it became the Lehramtsstab. One was a little more liberal and the other a little more conservative. Almost every rabbi went to both. You wandered in Germany from one university to another, and then decided to be ordained in either the slightly more liberal or the slightly more conservative. But all then belonged to the same, to two actual assemblies of rabbis, conferences of rabbis. One was a major conference of liberal rabbis, and the other was a conference that included the small Orthodox segment as well. That was about 15%. And as an aside, that liberal conference, I've forgotten whether, I don't think it was a whole conference, but the officers and the board happened to meet in Munich just before the Munich synagogue was torn down at the personal order of Hitler. That occurred in the summer of 1938. He was in Munich, and there was a parade, and as he was driving along, he asked, "What's that building?" Somebody said, "That's a synagogue." And he said, "I want it demolished." And so they called that next weekend, or the next week, and said, "We're going to demolish your synagogue starting the day after tomorrow." So in a great hurry, the congregation was called together, and they had a last service, including this leadership group who happened to be in Munich at the time, took the Torahs out, and the next day the demolition began.
Were there also counterpart colleges, counterparts of the Hebrew and God, and other European countries before the war?
Yes, and one of those even survived the war. There was a rabbinical seminary in Hungary. We often forget that there was a very large and very strong reform movement in Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it comprised about 50% of the Hungarian Jewish population. You know, we usually think of the Hungarians in the villages in the Galicia, who were Orthodox or often Hasidic, but in the large cities, in Budapest and some of the other large cities, the congregation was basically Reform, and also to a large extent German-speaking, or Magyar-speaking, not Yiddish. So if you went to the, and I've done that, I tried to go to that enormous synagogue in Budapest, but at the time I was there it was being restored. So I went to the smaller synagogue behind it, which is a memorial synagogue, seats about 500, so it's more than adequate. And it was kind of ironic to sit there surrounded by this wall of plaques, each of which in German commemorated somebody who had fought in the First World War, of course on the side of Germany, 400, and died. And it was just weird to be there in that those thoughts. There was a fairly strong reform movement in France, and a small seminary founded after the war, but didn't last very long. And there was a liberal rabbinic seminary. There were two others, one in Austria in Vienna, very small institution, and an additional very small institution in northern Italy. I'm not sure of the town, one of the small towns in northern Italy. Padua, I believe it was.
Well, we're so naive, we aren't aware of anything that. Now, is the American Union or whoever supportive of what you're doing? Do you have other support besides yourself? Would other rabbis teach there for short courses?
Well, I'm looking for people who are willing to do that. The number, because you have to be fluent in German, it's very problematic. There are a number of, one of my colleagues, for example, is going to be there at a meeting. Next time I'm going to be over there is in October. And he's going to come along too and make some presentations. Some others are either too old or feel uncomfortable in going to Germany, or their health is not sufficiently good to be able to do that. So, you know, I'm probably one of the younger ones of those who, well, how much younger than 9 years old could you have been when you left Germany and still remember some German?
Now, would any of the rabbis come here, the people that are going to be trained? Would they be welcome here too?
Oh, they would be welcome at the Hebrew Union College, but...
too expensive.
Well, it's not too expensive. It may even be cheaper. But that's to be discouraged for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One is, if they are at the Leo Beck in London, that's only an hour from Germany, so they can serve the German congregation while they're training and be helpful. The second is they will not be tempted to stay here because, you know, in Germany it's going to be a struggle and it's going to be tough. Here, go, everything is, you know, set. if you have a struggle, it's rather rare, or it's your own doing.
What's going to happen in October?
In October, the World Union for Progressive Judaism's European meeting will for the first time be held in Germany. since the Second World War, and it will occur in Munich. And again, it's quite ambitious for this little congregation to host this meeting, which will bring 300-350 people from all over Europe, possibly also from some other places like North Africa and South America, together. A couple of things will be part of this. One is there's a strong intellectual component. And secondly, there's a real effort to help each other. In other words, the reform movement in France, which has always had difficulty because of the high degree of centralization of French Jewry. You know, in France, if it doesn't happen in Paris, forget it. I mean, that's more or less their attitude.
That's not just Jewish, that's everything.
Yeah, for everything, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, France is difficult to deal with because they feel that it has to be in French, which means that they are more and more cut off and more drop out of sight. I talked on a plane trip to the West Coast a couple of weeks ago. I sat with a professor of chemistry from Cornell. We talked about all sorts of things. So I asked him, how are things in France in chemistry? He said, well, if you put all of the universities together, you might be able to scrape up one decent chemistry department. They have isolated themselves to such an extent because of their love of French that they're out of it. While in Germany, there isn't a single chemistry magazine which does not publish exclusively in English, because they want to be part of the world picture. So that's France, Holland, Austria, Switzerland, Hungary, Belgium, Spain, Italy, all have small reform groups. In some cases, not so small. Holland is quite large and strong. And of course, England is very strong. So we'll try to help each other and move along. Oh yeah, that's going to be a good meeting, and I look forward to that. And around it, we're planning teacher training and efforts to try to get other people to, if they're not professional teachers yet, to consider being a professional Jewish teacher. You can train for that at the University of Heidelberg, probably also at the University of Potsdam, Berlin.
Aren't you going to be teaching there?
Yeah.
When?
In April.
So 98.
I have another question. Do they still have the schooling, the primary school in Germany? Is it still by religion or not?
Religion is taught.
Is taught.
Yes.
So that would Judaism be taught? Is there such a thing at this point as a Jewish school?
Well, there are some Jewish day schools, but in the German general schools,
yeah.
If there are enough Jewish students, Judaism will be taught, and that will be one of the responsibilities of the rabbi, of the broader community. My guess is that two things will happen in Germany. One is these progressive congregations will multiply and will grow, so that if we talk a year from now, instead of there being 10 as part of this union, there'll probably be 20 and another dozen or so outside thinking about it. And the second is that somewhere along the line, some of the Einheitsgemeinde, the umbrella, in every community there's a sort of a Jewish umbrella community, that they will opt, instead of being nominally Orthodox, that they will opt for liberal or progressive Judaism with a small Orthodox component. And once that begins to happen, and I think it will happen in some places reasonably soon, maybe a year or two long. Others will follow soon.
So would these be comparable to our Jewish center?
No, not at all.
It's more religious?
Yes, the basic emphasis is religious. That sort of an umbrella organization has always existed in Germany, and before the war it was predominantly reform, or liberal, or whatever you want to call it.
Are these organizations that reach into different communities? They do pick up like a 100-mile radius?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
So they don't go into a different community?
That's a separate matter. Let's say a city like Frankfurt will have a Jewish umbrella community, I'd say, which is religious in nature, and which will also finance some of the social functions, you know, something like the center, but the center would be underneath that. And because it's religious in nature, at the moment it's Orthodox, because that's the only thing that there was after the war. And it was the only thing that there was because there were so few Jews, they couldn't afford to fight. Or to separate into various segments. But that's about to change.
In Germany, are social issues